Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And Father, thank you for the word of God that we read tonight. And I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. And Lord, to help every heart that hears this message to just receive what's being said. And help me to be clear. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture and we talk about the idea of being a steward, somebody who has been put in charge of something or given a responsibility to take care of something. If you have a steward of some land, they are stewards of that land. They're supposed to take care of that land. They're supposed to manage it. They're supposed to take care of it and make sure nothing goes amiss. There are different types of stewards. We talk about stewardship over money, and people, if you get a financial advisor, you make him a steward, basically, of your money. He's supposed to be looking at your money and making sure that your money is not wasted or squandered, and it actually has a return on it. And, of course, when we go on that, we look at the idea of stewards, and we look at the parable of the talents, where he gave one man 10 talents, one man 5, and one man 1, and or in another place he gave 1 5and 5 and 2 and 1, I think it was, and you go through there so you go in there, you look at the talents, and you know, you have two good stewards that actually made a profit, and then the other one didn't even put it in a bank to let it draw interest. He didn't invest it, didn't do anything. He hid it in a napkin and buried it and dug it up when the master came and said, "Here you go, here's what you got." And we look at that, and that's a picture of stewardship, of what we're supposed to be doing. And so he said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So we are stewards of the Word of God. And I have preached a message, how to be a good steward of the Word of God, and talking about the different things the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do with God's Word and how we're supposed to respond to it. But we're stewards of the mysteries of God. But I'd like to focus more on the following verses and just look at the idea of being a steward. Whether it be a steward of the Word of God, or whether it be a steward of a ministry, or the steward of your life before God, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So that is the judgment. That is the standard about a steward. When you look at the parable of the talents, it wasn't all about the amount of money gained. It was about the faithfulness. And so when we talk about being a good steward of God's Word, or being a good steward of our ministry, or a good steward of our life, it's about simply being faithful to do what is necessary. And then the question always arises, Am I faithful? Am I being faithful? And that's the way we should look at it. So when we look at the idea of a steward, the idea is to be faithful. So whatever it may be doing, whatever we may have to do, excuse me, I'm sorry, I got a catch my back there. Whatever we have to do as a steward, the number one requirement is faithfulness. And that's the standard by which we're judged. You know, even when it talks to the idea of spiritual gifts, as we go into, the Bible says the Spirit of God, when it talks about spiritual gifts, divides severally to every man as he wills. Not as the man wills, but as the Spirit wills. So you don't get to choose your spiritual gifts, but you are required to be a good steward of that gift. That's going to be the judgment of what you did with what God gave you. We all have different levels of talent and ability. And the issue isn't which one has better or which one has a greater. If you go on this book of 1 Corinthians, there is an absolute abuse of the spiritual gifts, and particularly the gift of tongues, right? And everybody is there, and he has to rebuke them because they are worried about who has the best gifts. They were divided. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, right? He rebuked them for that too. Because they weren't being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some were, and others were being faithful to a man. You know, I'll say this, if I'm the only preacher that you feel like you can listen to and learn from, something's wrong with you. Because I am certainly not the only person that God called. Am I? Something to think about. But he says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And it really doesn't matter what you have there when it comes to your abilities and your talents. What God's looking for is a willingness to just be faithful and use what you have, what He has given you, for His glory. Verse 7 tells us that very thing. He says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why didst thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" In other words, God gave you certain things. He gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you talents and abilities at birth and aptitudes and all those type of things that are there by virtue of your birth and things that, and the goal is to take what God has given and not glory as if somehow we're better off than somebody else or better than anybody else, but simply to be faithful, to take what God gives and be faithful. You know, the context of this starts out with the Word of God, doesn't it? Talks about the Word of God. God gave the Word. Great is the company of them that publish it, the Scripture says. God gave the Word and the Word went out. That's how we are good stewards of the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to dwell in us richly and then it's supposed to go out. That's how we're a good steward of the Word of God. And we're supposed to do that faithfully. We're supposed to be faithful. And, you know, when we talk about faithfulness, when we put it in the proper perspective, I mean, Sister Denise is my wife. I'm not supposed to be faithful to her for 6 months out of the year. I'm not supposed to be faithful to her for the first 5 years of our marriage. And she's not supposed to be faithful for me. Our faithfulness in this thing doesn't have a time limit on it, does it? It doesn't have an expiration date. It's still death do us part. Keeping each other only, keeping ourselves only to the other, so long as we both shall live. That's faithfulness, would you not say? Now, we can understand that. Why can't we understand that when it comes to the Bible? And notice something, he goes on. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now, when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you might think that this is a contradiction, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he's warning them about their mockery of the Lord's Supper and the fact that they were becoming sick, and some were dying because of their wickedness. And he says that, he says in verse 31, and verse 30 says, for this cause are many weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For we, if we were judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And he says, wait a minute. He says, we're supposed to judge ourselves. But over here in chapter 4, Paul says, with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Is there a contradiction there? Absolutely not. If you look at the context, the focus there, what he's talking about is he's not talking about the act of judgment, he's talking about the measure of judgment, if you will. The standard of judgment. The standard of judgment is not what other people think about you. The standard of judgment is what does God say? What does the Word of God say? He says, he that judgeth me is the Lord. Alright? You and I, we're not supposed to... It doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter what I think of you. In the final analysis, what matters is what God says is faithfulness. Not what I think is faithfulness, but what God says is faithfulness. And I think that's pretty well spelled out in the Word of God. But here's the thing that we need to understand. You get to chapter 11, he's talking about it. He's telling you that we should judge ourselves, not according to how we feel or anybody else's opinion, but by the Word of God. Because he's telling them about violations of God's Word. They're violating the Scriptures. They're making a mockery of that which God gave us with the Lord's Supper. So when we look at that and we talk about that and we look at what's going on there, he says, it doesn't matter. He said, I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, it doesn't matter how I think about myself either. It's not a matter of what other people say. It's not a matter of what other people do. It's not a matter of how you feel. It is, what does God say? And so many people in this day and age, their religion is based upon their perception of themselves and their attitude. You have a lot of people that are religious that think they are just doing the will and the work of God. It's kind of interesting. I listened to a fellow today. He was talking about gardening, and he came back with some. He did some video or something about a Back to Eden method and everything like that about gardening and everything. And he has some good things, that good common sense things that are there. But some of the things he says about, you know, he just comes up with some really weird ideas, you know. And it's almost like he's made this gardening his righteousness. He actually went out and said, well, tilling the soil was what the devil tilled the soil. The devil caused Cain to till the soil. But that's not even biblical. And so what are you going to equate? Now you're going to equate righteousness with whether you cover the soil and plant through a mulch or you till the soil? That's kind of dumb. And I'm not saying he's not sincere. I'm just saying that's wrong. And I'm not saying he doesn't have some good techniques and everything like that. And he says a lot of things that make common sense, you know, that he rightly identifies. This is the way things are done in nature. This is the way God ordained it. And this thing works that way. And some of these things work. It helps hold water. It helps hold different things like that. And so, you know, I may actually use some of those things. But if you're going to act like having a tiller is of the devil, that's just stupid. And I don't mean to be unkind, but I'm simply saying the bottom line is there's nothing in the Bible that says that. All it says is that Cain was a tiller of the earth. It didn't say Cain's problem wasn't that he tilled the earth. It wasn't that he dug up a garden or thing. It wasn't that he was growing crops. It was that his problem was that he, in his pride, did not bring the offering that was necessary for the sacrifice. He brought of the fruit of the ground, which God had cursed, and he brought of what? A bloodless sacrifice. He did not bring a proper sacrifice. And God did not have respect to his offering. And he got mad. And he murdered his brother. And after that, God was still merciful to him. But he told him after that, he said, when you till the ground, it will not henceforth yield unto you your strength. So that tells me he was kind of all right before he committed murder. And he was envious against his brother. And hated his brother. I don't think his problem began when he began to till the ground. I think it had to do with his heart, don't you? I'm just saying, but people come up with ideas like that, and they say things like that. And they don't pay attention to it. They don't think it through. And that becomes a way of righteousness. No, it doesn't matter what you think is righteous. It's what God says is righteous. It doesn't matter what you think is faithful. It's what God says is faithful. The Bible defines faithfulness. And we have examples of faithfulness in the Bible. We have examples of those things. So it's not what I feel. It's not what men think, it's what God says. And that's why he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, who will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. In other words, there's coming a day when there will be an absolute reckoning, and it will be very clear who was faithful and who was not. You won't have to have opinions about it. And Paul says, I don't judge myself. I let God be the standard. The Word of God is the standard that tells me whether I'm faithful or not. And, you know, to be faithful, is to continue. He said, these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. You don't want to be puffed up. You don't want to be followers of men. The only time you want to follow a man is if he's following Christ. And if he's not following Christ, you don't want to follow him. But you need to know that he's following Christ. And you can't just have it because you have a good feeling for them or something like that. It's got to be based upon, is he being obedient to the Bible? Is he being faithful to God's Word? Does his behavior reflect what God says? That's the standard of faithfulness. When we talk about ordaining somebody, right? We talk about ordaining a man to a gospel ministry. The idea is that we do what? We observe their life. We observe their gifts. And by what standard do we judge that? By the Word of God. There's standards in there for me to judge that. And those things have to do with faithfulness. You know, a man comes to me and says, God's calling me to preach, and he don't show up to church. He's not involved in the ministry. I'd say, I don't think you understand what God's calling you to do. How's God going to use you when you won't be used now? I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? That's to do with faithfulness, doesn't it? You know, we recently had a fella come here and claim to be a pastor. We've had a few of those. They come in claiming to be a pastor. But they bounce from church to church to church to church, and they never stick in one. They never stay in one. He came and sat down and sat in the service with us and ate a meal with us. We helped him out because he needed help. Then we didn't see him again until he wanted more help. He wanted to call himself a pastor. He wasn't a pastor. Question is, you say, how do I know he wasn't a pastor? Well, I know he's not faithful. I know he's not faithful. We have a lot of people that think that the extent of their faithfulness is come to church regularly. And why I do indeed think you ought to be faithful to a Bible-believing church, that's not the end of faithfulness. That's kind of the beginning, isn't it? Yeah. You know, when we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, he says this, he says in verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. In other words, there's a starting place, isn't there? Starting place with the Word of God. In that same book of Hebrews, chapter 5, he rebukes them, doesn't he? He says in verse 12, he says, well, when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have one that need teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A faithful man, a man that's been faithful in the word of God, begins to be able to tell the difference between good and evil. You don't have to keep telling him he's doing something wrong. He understands that it's wrong. And when he's wrong, he gets on his face before God and repents of it. He didn't have to be told again and again and again. He didn't have to be educated and re-educated. One of the scary things about churches today, it's almost like churches have to be completely re-educated. And it's scary sometimes when you think about it. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. We look and we judge maturity. When he says, let's go on to perfection, he's talking about maturity being what we're supposed to be. Being what God intends us to be. Growing the way God intends us to grow. He's not talking about sinless perfection there. He's talking about us becoming what we're supposed to be. And yet so many people have to get taught the same lesson over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they're not faithful. We look at the maturity of a child. A lot of the idea of a child growing up is that they can become faithful. And that they learn and don't have to be taught all the time. Right? That's the idea. We have a multitude of people now that are out there on the streets because they've never learned to be faithful in anything. They've never grown up. They grew up physically, but that's all. They carry the size and stature and body parts of a man or a woman, but their soul and their spirit and their mind is still childish. Then they end up acting like brute beasts. And that's a shame, isn't it? We judge maturity by faithfulness, don't we? Somebody comes in, gets to a job, and they get a job. They don't show up for the job. They're not going very far, are they? So when we get back to the passage of Scripture we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're to be stewards, ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. But regardless of whatever your gift may be, there's a requirement, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And you don't get to decide what's faithful. You know, when they give out the attendance, the perfect attendance trophy at a school, the students don't get to decide who had perfect attendance, do they? When they give out the perfect attendance records at work and they decide who's going to be, that's not decided by you, is it? It's decided by the people to whom you're responsible to. Our government is actually supposed to work that way, even though it doesn't, because people don't care, because people haven't been faithful to the Constitution of the United States and have not taken the time to learn and understand and taking the time to vote. But the idea is that we're supposed to be the ones to determine whether those representatives, those senators, that president, that governor, those state representatives and state senators, those city councilmen, we're supposed to be the ones to determine whether they are faithful. Aren't we? But we're not doing it, are we? See, we understand faithfulness when it comes down to that. We need to understand it spiritually. God is the one who defines what faithful is. We don't get to do that. You don't get to do it for anybody else, and you don't get to do it for yourself. God does it. So when we talk about being faithful, we've got to start with the Word of God. That's the standard. That's what tells us what we're supposed to do. And I don't think I have to try very hard to get to educate you what the Bible says is faithful and what's not faithful. But we're stewards. And it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is the standard. That is the top requirement of being a steward, that a man be found faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close and have our prayer request time and our prayer time. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us to learn what it means to be faithful, to be faithful stewards of the Word of God, of the gifts that you've given us, of the talents, the abilities, of all that you provided for us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, if we would just be faithful to you, we'd be faithful to one another. Help us, Lord, to desire and understand that we need to learn what you say is faithful. And that is our standard, and that's what we ought to pursue. And Lord, thankfully, that is what, by your grace, we can attain. We can be faithful. Help us to that end, we pray. And bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.